Everyone can tell what it is, but how do you get it? With so many styles of music, with new gear coming out almost daily, what's the secret to great tone? Welcome to the Flow Guitar Enthusiast Radio Show, where we talk about tone, what it is, and how to get it. With your hosts, Jeff Floro and Scott Sill, we will talk to the creators of tone, the manufacturers, and the players, as we explore tone and the gear that gets it.
Tonight on the Flow Guitar Enthusiast, we have Tom Salisbury, Western Regional Sales Manager from Sennheiser USA. We'll be talking all things microphones, miking techniques, and demonstrating a few Sennheiser mics live in studio. Flow Guitar Enthusiast is proudly sponsored by Sweetwater Musical Instruments and Pro Audio at www.sweetwater.com. And now here are your hosts, Jeff Flow to the Izzo and Scott Sill.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Flow Guitar Enthusiast Radio Show. Hey, Scott, how are you doing?
I am doing fine. I just spent the last 3 hours with an amazing person, Thomas Nordig, who will be on our show next week, who's Steve I's guitar tech, Frank Zappa's guitar tech. He was guitar tech for
Duran Duran. For Frank?
He was for Frank. He was originally the keyboard tech.
And he's also Dweezil's.
He was also Dweezil's for 6 years. So, and many other people, but I mean, just insane. And I was over at his apartment checking out his rig that he has, and it's just, it's called Sonica, like Monica, as he says, but it is insane. It's just, it's crazy. So we'll have him in here next week, and we'll be talking about that, and of course, his long history with all these people.
I also want to mention that today is our year anniversary. We've been on the air for 1 year. So I just want to thank everybody that's been listening and downloading the shows. You guys have made it happen, and we're really grateful.
Yes, yes, absolutely. We're, you know, we'll hopefully be here for at least another 30 years.
Yes.
So we'll see.
Then I can retire.
Yes, when you're 90.
Yes.
So, but yeah, and then just for anyone listening, you know, if you want to sign up, last minute chance to sign up for the Sennheiser microphone that we're giving away, the E835 vocal mic. You can go to flowguitarenthusiast.com. Do it quick and fast and in a hurry because I will be having the computer pick a winner. So make sure you go there. And then we also wanted to send out a huge thanks to PRS Guitars, who we had on 2 weeks ago, I believe. Mm-hmm. But they sent us a custom 24 S2 here that we can use to demo. We'll be demoing that with some of the Sennheiser mics. So we appreciate that. And we'll be doing some YouTube videos of that also. So thank you, PRS.
Yes. I am surrounded right now with microphones. It's just great because they're cool mics.
Anyway. Yes. And we'll go through all of them. There's, I think, four or five different Sennheiser mics that we have in studio, maybe four, I think. And then we have all kinds of other stuff to talk about. So we'll talk to Tom and bring him on. What's going on with you, Jeff? What have you been up to?
Well, I spent all of yesterday pulling this guitar out of mothballs. This is a very special guitar. I've had this for...
You say mothballs. Do you literally mean you have mothballs in the case?
No, no, no.
Why do you say that then?
I mean, that's just an expression from the past.
I just worry
I'm a
that
different
your,
generation. Than
I'm
you.
Just afraid your guitars are going to come out smelling like a 70-year-old lady. That's all.
No. Well, actually, it took a while to get the cigarette smoke out of them from playing clubs. But
that's what it's supposed to smell like.
No. I used to sit there and leave them out for 3 days to get all the cigarette smoke out of them. But anyway, this guitar is a Guild F-112. I checked the serial number, and it is the first year, 1968. It's one of the first ones. So I bought this in a store up in San Francisco. It was never played, and I played it, and I've worn it out, and there's scratches and dings all over it, but I played it all through high school and college and sessions, and it's just a beautiful guitar. So I brought it out for this occasion just to show off the mics because it's really bright and it's really tinkly. And you can hear that we were playing with the mics before. You can hear the difference, so it should be fun.
And it smells like my grandmother's closet in here.
And also, too, I want to thank Ronan for being on the board. He's running the board for me because I'm behind all these microphones. So thank you, Ronan. He always helps us out.
Yep. And then one last thing before we'll take a quick little break and bring on our guest. I did shoot a video. I finished it last night around 1 o'clock. It's a video of three different large diaphragm microphones, one of them being the Sennheiser MK4. I have no idea which one sounds better. It's really not the point to find out which one sounds better. It's the point is to find out which one that you like and what will work for your recording situation. But I haven't been able to hear them yet, but I'm really excited. I think it'll be cool. I went through a lot of trouble to make sure that my miking technique and everything was all exactly the same every single time, so it should be a fairly decent shootout. So you can go to my YouTube channel, Selenium. It'll be up this week.
Sounds good. Okay, well, let's just go to commercial, and let's jump right in. I'm ready to test these mics. I'm really excited about it. So.
Hi, this is Aaron Raby, your resident guitars and amps geek at Sweetwater Sound. 1-800-222-4700 or catch us on the web at www.sweetwater.com. Sweetwater is proud to partner with The Flow in bringing you the latest and greatest in all guitar-related things, be it tone, be it artists and musicians, their secrets on their tone, amplification, and live performance. We at Sweetwater are just as passionate as the folks on The Flow in bringing you what we consider to be the best in pro audio equipment and guitar and PA gear. Give us a call and we'll discuss gear whenever you like. Number here is 800-222-4700. And again, you can catch us on the web at www.sweetwater.com. I'm Aaron Raby, and thanks again for listening.
All right, everyone, you are listening to Jeff and Scott on the Flow Guitar Enthusiast Radio Show, and I'm Paul Reed Smith from PRS Guitars, and that's kind of what's going on. Enjoy the show.
Welcome back, everyone. Well, I want to introduce our guest, Tom Salisbury, who's the Western Regional Manager of Sales at Sennheiser.
How are you doing, guys?
Oh, good, good. So just tell me, how did you get involved with Sennheiser mics? I know that you're a keyboard player, so what got you into the world of Sennheiser?
Well, I've been doing pro audio in Los Angeles for about 30 years. I came out here to do studio recording and kind of ended up drifting into the pro audio world for a more steady gig, let's say. And I worked for Ampex for a number of years and then started looking at what couldn't be replaced by plugins, and transducers, of course, are the logical choice. So I started targeting Sennheiser and finally got a job there about almost 10 years ago now. I've worked at various positions in Sennheiser and Pro Audio and in market development, demonstrating products, getting our products on big television shows like American Idol and The Voice and anything else that has singing on it just about. And now I'm heading up a Western team for consumer, for headphones, basically. So I've kind of done it all over at Sennheiser. It's a great company.
So what would, you know, out of curiosity, I know it was kind of a question I was planning on asking later, but I'm kind of curious just to go straight out with it. You know, a lot of people will say, like, they're, you know, an SM57 is their one island mic. I don't know if that's exactly appropriate anymore because, I don't know, we'll talk about it later, but I'm not as huge fan of the SM57. But, what would be your island mic out of Sennheiser? What would be the one mic you would take that would accomplish as much as you possibly could?
See, this is a difficult question because a lot of Sennheiser mics, because they were developed at a different time, they're very application-based. So Sennheiser had a philosophy of developing, you know, similar to Neumann, where the microphones were, they could do multi-things, but they were thinking about kind of a couple of things that they would do well. So it'd be very difficult for me to pick one mic, and not being a guitar player, I'd pick a DI or something, you know, for my keyboards. But, you know, a good, well-rounded mic like the MK4 that we have today, I mean, that mic will do it all. Any of the mics we had here today actually would be good substitutes for that. And there's nothing wrong. SM57 is a great mic, and it's been a workhorse.
Yeah, I mean, it is. I guess I shouldn't necessarily say that it's not. Well, it's just not one of my favorites because I didn't realize how much it colored my tone.
Let me interject for a minute because back when the SM57 was a standard, before Scott was born, the other mic that was used a lot, at least I saw in studios a lot for drums and guitar, was the MD-421. That mic was pretty much their their SM57, which isn't really appropriate to compare it that way, but that mic, I saw that in almost every studio session I worked on. So,
well, that's true. The 421 is a classic mic, been around since 1960, I think. So, you know, a 50 or more older microphone, and it does it all. I mean, it was used a lot in radio for its great proximity effect. It sounds, gives you that big radio voice, and but it also had these,
God knows I need that.
Yeah, and it also had the switchable bass roll offs that had the easy settings. One was M for music, the other one was S for speech, and then several points in between. And it was great for all kinds of instruments and still is, and it's a go-to mic because it can handle over 160 dB SPL. So yeah. It'll do drums, it'll do Barry sax, it'll do, you know, anything you want it to do, as well as radio voice.
Wow.
Yeah, that's what one of the engineers had told me, that it didn't break up as much as a 57.
No.
They used them a lot on toms, on drum toms, but I used to see a mic our amps with them too, and they were clean.
Oh, yeah. It handles a lot
of stuff. We were distorted, but the mic was clean.
Well, that's what you're after.
Well, so Tom, so for our listeners' sake, there's different types of mic out there. There's a condenser, permanently polarized condenser, dynamic, and ribbon. Can you kind of just talk about, and maybe I'm missing a few, but can you talk about what the difference is between those different mics?
Those are the basic types. So it kind of comes down to transducers, and we can just simplify this, that sound is the movement of air in pressure waves, let's say. So the vibration of your vocal cords or the instrument or whatever it is creates the air to move. The air has to impinge on something that changes it to electrical impulses. And so we can have wires and amplifiers and all kinds of stuff like that. So the basic concept is that inside a microphone is a capsule, and there's a membrane on the top that's called the diaphragm. It's a tightly stretched mylar-type material that is like a drum head, akin to a drum head. So the air pressure hits it, it vibrates in tiny ways, and it has to generate electrical impulses. So the mics do it in different ways. They're all basically that same concept. But a dynamic mic is like a brute force mic. The diaphragm is attached to a coil of wire, and the coil of wire is surrounded by a permanent magnet. And it was found in physics many, many years ago that if you could move a coil of wire through a permanent magnet, it induces an electrical current at the other end. So that's how a dynamic mic works. It's brute force. It's unbreakable virtually. It's the best mic for throwing in your case. Take it on the road. It's the most common live mic type there is because there are really no electrical parts in it. Second type of mic you mentioned was a condenser mic, which is a general category that's broken up into two parts. So a condenser mic, instead of having a coil moving through a magnet, you eliminate the magnet. You can have a much smaller microphone, and you have a capsule that has the diaphragm on the front and a back plate. And the space in between, the back plate is charged in some manner, and the space in between the diaphragm and the back plate becomes polarized so that when the diaphragm is vibrating, it generates small electrical impulse currents. Those usually need to be preamplified to actually, because they're very, very tiny. But because of the lack of a magnet, you get a lighter, smaller microphone that is much more sensitive. So it's a great mic for miking quieter sounds or more detail than a dynamic microphone. So that's a condenser in general, which is one of the things that Sennheiser as a company is focused a lot on in their history. And there are two types of condensers. One's called a true condenser, which requires a voltage to the back plate. So the typical phantom-powered mic. Mm-hmm. Phantom power being invented by Georg Neumann, by the way. That's another story, in the 30s. But a voltage is applied to the back plate from an electric current from the desk, from the mixing desk or console. And these days, every inexpensive $100 mixer has phantom power provided. So that's one direction. The other way is to have a pre-polarized condenser, and that is where the back plate is permanently charged with a very slight charge, like the way a piece of plastic wrap can have static sort of cling to it. That's similar in concept. There's a static charge there. There's no voltage applied, but it's permanently charged, and the condenser will work on that principle. those microphones are usually, they're less expensive to make, but they can be even smaller than a true condenser. So your lavalier mics are electret-type pre-polarized condensers. And other inexpensive handheld mics would be that type. Strangely enough, we developed a mic at Sennheiser for Sting, and it's called the 865. It's an electret condenser mic, but you know, he just loved it, and it became his signature mic for years and years. And when the Police had the reunion, that's what they had on stage.
Do those back plates ever wear out and lose their charge, or do they? They're pretty much permanent.
It's pretty much permanent. We've never run into that case. So.
Well,
oh, and then you asked about ribbon. I'm sorry. Uh-huh. We don't make any ribbon mics, and Neumann doesn't as well, but the concept is similar. Instead of a diaphragm, you have a ribbon of thin metal that's vibrating, and so it's just a different kind of tone. Now, they used to be easy to blow up, because if you applied phantom power by accident in a studio using a condenser, and then you switch to a ribbon, you'd blow the ribbon up with the voltage. But these days, they're all protected from that, and there's a renaissance of new ribbon mics, which I'm sure you've explored, but we don't make any, so that's all I know.
Let me interject for a second, because I don't think people are aware. I didn't know this until you told me that Sennheiser's owned Neumann for years. And what I wanted to ask you was the technology that Neumann had, which, as far as vocal mics and for orchestra recording, for everything else, Neumann was and still is the standard in the studios. Has that technology from Neumann, has that fallen into, are they using that technology, or are they still kind of separate?
It's an interesting story, because many, many people don't know that Neumann is owned by Sennheiser. In 1991, the Neumann family was, there was no one that was interested in the company, and it was up for sale, and Sennheiser swooped in because it was another proud German family company that they didn't want to go to, perhaps, you know, a Japanese company or something like that. So they kind of held it for their legacy. Neumann headquarters are in Berlin. Sennheiser headquarters are in Wiener Basel, up near Hanover, Germany. So they have separate headquarters. But the factories are attached yet separate. Neumann is completely done in a different area of the factory in near Hanover. And the Sennheiser is done in another area. Different employees, different presidents of companies, very, very separate. And to your question about technology, the technology generally is not shared that much. I mean, I'm sure they talk to each other, but
yeah.
But Sennheiser is very proud of their, Dr. Sennheiser's, our founder's inventions and innovations. And Neumann has a completely different philosophy than Sennheiser. Sennheiser is very much more about flat frequency response is very, very super accurate. Neumann is not necessarily about that at all. They're about the art of recording. So Neumann microphones tend to have more, you know, peaks and valleys, if you will, to emphasize certain frequencies that complement a female vocal's voice or complement a sweet orchestra voice. So there's difference in the way they develop, difference in the things they do. And, you know, the technology really isn't shared unless there's something, I suppose, that really, you know, at a top level that helps both companies at once.
Mm-hmm. Well, hey Jeff, what, I know you've got a 12 string on your hands right now. Why don't you pull out the PRS, and then we'll go to the 12 string so that we can do all kinds of different miking techniques with that. So as I had mentioned before, you know, I mean, I had done, I don't know, probably like 50 YouTube videos using an SM57, because that's what you're supposed to use. And that's what I, but I had discovered this the E609 from Sennheiser, and, you know, I know it's used by a lot of people, and I did not realize how much the SM57 was changing my tone, which I know a lot of people will use that for its own particular advantage. But this 609 is exactly what I hear in the room, and I love it. Can you tell us kind of a little bit about it? And then, well, let's just hear Jeff play it. Jeff's playing the PRS S2, Custom 24, and then we're playing through a Gibson Gold Tone 15-watt. For those of you calling in, we will try to get to your calls here. Just keep on calling in, but...
pickups.
Mm-hmm.
So I should mention that the mic right now is currently it's off center from the speaker, so it's not exactly on the middle of the cone. It's right off center, and it's kind of pointed towards the cone. I think we're getting a picture taken right now. But I'll ask Tom. So Tom, tell us about like what you know, like if how we move that mic. If Jeff was to lean over and move that mic, what kind of different tonalities we would hear with the 609?
Okay, well, I think if you were you've got it sort of near the center of the cone, it looks like at that 12-inch.
It's a little off center.
A little off center. Okay. It's hard to see from where I'm at, but typically the mic is designed. It's a flat size, so it's designed so that you can just hang it over the amplifier, so it's one less mic stand you need to carry. You've got it on a mic stand about 6 inches away, it looks like. More?
About 5 inches.
5 inches away. So typically it's designed to be flat against the grill because
I'm going
to
move it in.
That's the way it would hang. So it handles that kind of level. And it's a super cardioid mic, so it's directed exactly where you put it. So if you put it in the center, you'll get, you get generally a little more brightness of the tone. And then as you move out towards the sides, towards the edges of the cone, you'll pick a little more.
Moving it to the center.
Okay. So you should hear a little more brightness to it.
Yeah, moving it to this side.
And you see a little more fullness of tone there. The low frequencies are generated out there. So it's really it's your tone, right? Your guitar players, all my guitar player talks about is tone and the number of guitars he owns. So I know tone is crucial, and you want the microphone to convey whatever it is that you want to hear out of it. And that typically is what you've spent a lot of time developing in your room with your amplifier and your guitar, getting just that sweet spot. And so the microphone is a tool, and a lot of people go in, they start EQing. The first thing you should be doing is playing with the microphone where it's at in relation to the cone of the speaker, to the diameter of the speaker, and then the relationship to how far distant it is from the speaker. Right now, an inch or so? We're not against.
About an inch.
Which is different than if it were a cloth grill and you had it right against the grill. There'd be differences there as well. So it's really something.
Yeah, this has a metal grill.
Yeah, that's why we're not doing that right
but
now.
But it's what was really nice about these, I used to see a lot of sound guys doing live sound. They'd put these through, they'd hang them from the Marshalls.
Through the handle.
Through the handle, and it would just be right in front of the speaker.
That's what it's designed to do. I mean, that's its thing. It even says front on the part that goes against the grill. It's also really popular for tom-toms, but we're not we're not a drum show here, so we won't talk about that as much.
Well, no, I mean, it's interesting to know that you can use that. Now, I know there's a 906. What's the difference between the 609 and the 906?
Well, the numbers are reversed.
Well, oh, okay. Well, I didn't know that.
I knew that.
So the 906 is in a higher series, let's say, for us. So it's a little more expensive. And the main difference is that it has a presence switch on it. So it's a three-position switch, the center of which is flat, so very similar to a 609. If you push it up, you get a boost at 4.2K. So you get a little more of that high mid-range, a little brightness, if you will. And then you can switch it down and get more of a jazz, kind of a fuller sound. Just with the microphone, that doesn't even include, moving it around in front of the cone of the speaker.
So. Now, is there a position that's basically exactly as the 609? Is that the middle position?
The middle position would be the closest to the 609. It's a little bit different a capsule, so it's a slightly different sound, but you probably wouldn't tell the difference.
Now, Jeff, what would... Does that mic work well if, like, let's say he backs it off to catch more of the amp sound, like maybe like 3 feet out or something like that? Does it work well for that, or?
Well, it'll work. Remember, it's super cardioid microphone, so it's very directional.
Probably lose a little bit of the low frequency.
Exactly.
Sounds a little thinner to my headset, what I'm hearing in the headset.
And again, because the microphone's designed really to be laying up against the grill, that's probably where you're going to get, make best use of it in general. But, microphones are tools, and you do whatever you need to do, and you experiment with them, any of them, and see what works for you. And what works for you live may not work for you in a recording. I mean, a completely different kind of application.
Well, and I have to say, I mean, with this mic, I mean, honestly, I've fallen in love with it, and I mean, I've brought it. We just did like 35 videos at NAMM with this mic, and there was only one out of the videos where I was recording an acoustic guitar that you could even hear the crowd. But it was just perfect. I could put it right up to the amp, and you wouldn't even know you're in the loudest place imaginable. And you could, it sounded like you're in a sound room. It's great. Yeah, and it's what I hear.
The rejection was good. The rejection.
Yeah. And it's what I hear for coming out of the amp, which to me is important. I mean, because I want to start there and then manipulate it later or not manipulate. I'd rather just make my tone and rather have it. So that's just the way I am.
But. Oh, it's a go-to. It's definitely a go-to mic and then a preference for most people if they get the chance to compare.
Well, it follows that philosophy you were telling about the Sennheiser to accurately get the sound as opposed to color it.
This is exactly right.
So, Jeff, before we put away that PRS, I think it's amazing. I mean, this is the S2 line. This is their more affordable USA line. Dive bomb it. It's amazing. You dive bomb the dang thing, and then it comes back perfectly in tune. And this is not a Floyd Rose. It's crazy.
It's amazing.
I don't know how they do it, but I mean, it's man. Kudos to the folks over at PRS. That's all I can say.
If I had the arc on here, I could make it scream and do dive bomb.
Well, you can make it scream with that one. We just have to blow our ears out. That's the whole point of that amp. But anyhow, so why don't we switch to some of these other mics and we'll switch pull out one of your acoustics.
Okay, I'm gonna go to the 12 string now.
So before you do that, let's talk about it. So which mic do you want to do first? Do you want to do the MK4? Or do you want to do the other one?
Let's do the E914. This is an interesting mic. I really like the sound of this.
So the E914, this is more meant for a live mic, but it works really well for acoustic, as you said. So tell us about that mic and what's unique about it.
Okay, well, it's a small diaphragm condenser, like a pencil mic. It's a very sensitive condenser, and it's a really high-quality mic and sort of an represented mic, let's say, out there. A lot of people don't know about it in that range. They'll start maybe looking for recording. They might look at a Neumann KM184 or something like that. But this mic has more flexibility because on the mic itself, it has a three-position pad. So for a condenser mic, to use it for multiple purposes around a project studio or live or whatever, if you're miking something louder, you need to pad the mic down or it'll overload it. So having the three-position, the minus 20 dB pad is really helpful if you're going to put it on percussion or on overheads, which is a very common on television, on The Voice and stuff. All those shows, they use it for overheads, Grammys. And it also has a three-position bass roll-off. There's a flat position and a mild roll-off and then a real cutoff for low frequency. Again, to eliminate stuff that perhaps you don't need in maybe an acoustic guitar or something like that.
So this needs phantom power?
Correct.
Okay. It's real tingly.
So right now, where we have it is, it's about where the body meets the neck, so probably around the 14th fret, I'm guessing. I can't really tell. It doesn't have any markers on it.
Yeah, it's close to the 14th fret.
And it's angled towards the sound hole. So let's just listen to that. Give us a little ditty there, Jeff.
Question here on this, because you can hear the high free, it just tinkles. It's just got that real bright end. Would you use this mic? Would be used a lot for like overheads on a drum for cymbals?
Yeah, that's what I was. When I mentioned overheads, I'm speaking of. Often it's used as overheads on cymbals for the people that, you know, just prefer Sennheiser's sound. But it's very commonly used for acoustic guitars. It's because it's got that bright, beautiful sound.
And it's just got that. Getting the low end too.
So Jeff, let's do a little experiment here. So since you're in a chair, Let's move your mic position by you kind of moving to your left a little bit and put it more towards the sound hole. So now instead of it being more at the 14th fret, this is directly on the sound hole. Kind of play the same little ditty you did there, maybe not as long, but yeah.
The low end thump.
Yeah.
Now we're running it flat through the board. We're not EQing or doing anything, so you notice things will pop out at you.
Now, is it common to record stereo using those mics? So, like, say you put one more kind of closer to the sound hole and more one towards the 14th fret just to get those and mix them? Is that a common thing, or would you use a different mic to do a stereo recording of an
acoustic? You know, these days with project studios, sometimes there's not a lot of choices of mics laying around, but we encourage people to experiment. A stereo setup is really nice. Gives you both to choose from, or you can reject one, just record each on a different track if you want to and see what happens. That's the flexibility of, obviously, of digital audio workstations, that you can record, you can put six mics on it, record them all, see what accommodation works best. But it's pretty common to put one near the 12th fret to get the brightness, and then something down to get more low end, depending on what you're recording for, though. You know, if it's a solo guitar, you might want that. If it's just going to be something in a mix that's got to pop out, just more of the strumming, then you might stick with just the 12th fret area or someplace up like that. But this microphone is very versatile, and it's got a nice sound for acoustic guitar. I really like it, and I've used it in piano as well. Two or three of them inside the piano, top open. They sound amazing. It's a relatively unknown microphone in our line, but it's incredibly versatile, and people that discover it just love it to death.
Is the response similar to the KM?
Well, the KM-184 is a little more expensive. This is a little more value, and the response is very similar, except that you do get features that aren't on the KM-184, like the present.
But the
roll-off.
The response is similar. It should be similar.
So, Tom, is there a different miking technique we should move that in just to demonstrate while we've got it there?
Well,
should we move it to a different location and try it?
Yeah, there's a couple of things you could try. You could get it closer and near the 12th fret, so a little up and then a little closer. Point it towards the sound hole, but get a little more straight and then down a few frets. There you go. And the other option is you could get near the bridge.
Okay, and then we'll have Ronan turn that on. And this is around the 12th fret, and it's about maybe 2 inches from the guitar. Go ahead, Jeff.
This position I like a lot when there's another mic down at the near the sound hole, because then you get the jangling of the strings up there at the 12th fret, but you get the fullness down at the body. So.
Okay, this is more towards the bridge.
Okay.
Guitar is pretty. When you get near this bottom of the sound, it gets really loud.
It's a really, really nice mic. Now let's do something as we transition into the MK4. Move that. Was it 9/16, right? Or 9/14? 9/14. Move that over more towards the 12th fret, so we get the tingly. And then let's turn on the MK4, and we'll get that kind of a bassier thump out of that guy, and we'll mix them together. And then we'll move and we'll do some experiments with the MK4.
So the MK4 is a large diaphragm condenser, so by its nature will pick up probably more low frequency more easily.
Okay, let me bring this in more. I'm going to bring this in a little more so it gets Okay, now the MK4 is more towards my sound hole in the bridge. Much a little meteor sound.
Yeah, you know, honestly, like when you see this, I mean, I've seen a few YouTube videos of people have done pretty well, but you know, this kind of just tells you that basically, you know, you don't really need to touch the EQ that much. Sometimes it's just more or less, as you know, as Tom was saying earlier, find the right mic position first, and then you know,
well,
you
most
don't
of
have
the,
to do much.
The big engineers, they tend to record flat. They can always go back later, but if you got it right the first time. But this mic, really nice. It's really full.
So let's just hear only the MK4. That's really, really nice. So, Tom, so tell us about this mic. I mean, what kind of its features and what's, you know, what's a large diaphragm on mic anyhow, first of all?
Well, okay, so it's a larger diaphragm. So it has typically a one-inch diaphragm, whereas a small diaphragm is, I don't remember how many millimeters it is, but it's, let's say it's a half an inch. And Sennheiser specialize more in small diaphragms. In fact, the MK4 is the first side address large diaphragm that Sennheiser's made, and that's partially because of the development of Neumann. Neumann specializes in large diaphragms, and being a sister company, they felt like they couldn't top Neumann, and Neumann didn't feel like they wanted to go too heavily into small condensers, although they have, and they have in the past as well. But this is the first large diaphragm from Sennheiser. So it's a one-inch size diaphragm. It's got more surface area to vibrate.
It should get more low frequency.
It generally is considered to have more low frequency, particularly when you're going to get into vocals. It will be a warmer mic and a rounder mic, but it still retains that brightness that's needed. It was developed for project studios, so it's an all-around mic to use, because in a project studio, you don't have a closet full of microphones of Neumanns to choose from. So it's got very high SPL handling, and it handles 140 SPL, 140 dB. So that allows you to put it on guitar amps. My pedal steel player uses it all the time for his pedal steel amp. And on American Idol and The Voice, that's what they throw on guitar amps. They they're not using 421s or 906s. They like the sound of this large diaphragm on the amps. So
it's got a nice smooth low end to it.
Yeah, so Jeff has now switched over to his Martin. Is it the DSW?
DSR.
I don't know. It's all rosewood and Sitka spruce top. This is the one that he put on the guitar Hummer, which has ignited an interesting firestorm on the internet.
Okay, I'm going to go ahead and use pick right now, then I'll go to fingers. Okay, now let's try this E914.
The 914 is now more at the
The sparkle.
Yeah. They mixed really well together. The 914 is around where the body meets the neck, so around 14th fret, and it's angled towards the sound hole.
Just top. Now I'm going to go to fingers on this one. Let me do that.
Just toss the pick like a rock star, Jeff.
No, I need it for later, maybe.
Oh.
Now, which one am I on? Am I on the 9-14 or the...
Yeah.
I'm gonna EQ by moving the mic. Okay, let's try the MK4. Again, is near my sound hole. So let me try something here. I'm going to move it towards the bridge a little bit.
I just closed the comments, and I will have the computer randomly pick a winner for the E835. I'm sitting here having so much fun. I'm looking at the clock. I'm like, holy crap, we haven't even announced the winner. So we'll do that right now.
Let's try moving the MK4 up near the 14th or so fret, or 12th to 14th fret.
Okay.
I think we can do that
because
we have had both mics in radically different positions. It'd be interesting to compare if we can.
Yeah, I can lean.
Yeah, I can tell you when I did my large condenser demo, what I actually put it was at around the 14th or 12th fret in between there. And then I actually had it arrowed towards the sound hole, so it kind of was a mixture of high and low.
Yeah, it's more clear on the low end.
Yes, we are, and actually, I'll have Tom actually announce, as I like to have our guests sometimes announce the winner.
Is that Matthew?
Yeah.
Okay, drum roll, guitar lick. And the winner of the E835 super vocal mic is Robert Matthews.
Congratulations, Robert. So I'll be contacting you via email and letting you know, and we'll be getting it to you. Oh, we have a caller. Well, let's take the caller. Hello, who do we have, and tell us where you're from or your name.
Hello?
Who is this again?
Hi, this is the
you're
Flow,
on the Flow Guitar Enthusiast
Radio Show. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Oh, sorry, wrong number.
Yeah.
All right, well, congratulations. Thanks for calling. All right.
Back to the bar for that one.
That's funny. But anyway, there is a big difference. I'm going to go back to pick and go ahead and hit the MK4 again. See, that's nice here. Can hear those the overtones. That's a real, and it's still rich. This guitar is not a low end. It's a deep guitar, especially since I put it on the Hummer. But it's picking up all of it. It's really clean.
So let's just do something here. Well, Tom, tell us about. So you have a vocal mic here with us. It's the name of it right now is totally slipping me.
It's
right
a 935.
935. Tell us about that one. And Jeff, let's just while he's doing that, see if you can put the MK4 on the amp, and let's hear what that sounds like on the amp.
Okay.
And then maybe you can play us out on that.
Okay. So the 935. We have two series of mics. There's an 800 series, which the 609 is part of this 800-600 series. And then there's the 900 series. The 900 series was developed after the 800-600 series because front-of-house engineers, live engineers, were telling us the 800 and 600 series, especially in the vocal mics, emphasized frequencies because the 835, for instance, has a high frequency, a little presence at about 9 to 11K. So it cuts through a mix really well, and a lot of vocals like that. And we kind of compare that with the 935 because the 935 is flatter through that range. That if you're running your own sound, the 835 will cut through those other instruments up there for your vocals, and is probably a preferred mic. If you're doing venues where you've got front of house and a sound person out there, they generally prefer a little bit of flatter mic in that frequency range so that if they need to boost the EQ there, they'll do it. But it also gives them a little more control over the wedges in front and feedback and stuff. So the 935 is the capsule that is preferred by most of our pro artists. Most of them, of course, are on wireless because that's what we specialize in. But the capsules on Blake Shelton Miranda, Lady Antebellum, are all 935 capsules on their wireless.
The other mic that you were talking about, the 925?
835, the one you're giving away.
That one has a little bit of a peak in it.
It does.
Similar to like the 57 where it's around 1 to 3K or something, so it cuts through the PA.
The peak on the 835 is actually at 9K, around 9 to 11K.
Okay.
There is a little peak around 1K, though, too. And that's the idea, is to have it cut through a mix a little bit better. And it's a lower price point. I mean, it's $99, but the 935 is only $169. So, if somebody's going to be in it for the long haul and going to grow their act and stuff, we try to get them to the 935 because that's what the true pros are using. But the 835 kills its competition, and we all know who that is.
So I should just mention, we don't have time. Unfortunately, we're running out of time. We don't have time to talk about it, but you guys should check out. There's a mic they make. It's called the I just lost it on my sheet of paper. Oh, the MKH-800P48. Check that mic out. It even goes all the way up to 50 kilohertz. It's insane. It's cool. And it's got so many different little switches for changing bass frequency.
It's the one to use for DVD audio and super audio CD.
Orchestral recording. It's very, very common. It's a dual. It's a dual capsule. There's actually two capsules in the same microphone. So you can get every pattern.
They actually show it, recording a piano. I can only imagine what it sounds like on a piano, but I can only imagine what you could do with that thing with just, Anyways, check it out. It definitely was piquing my interest. It's got to be really cool. But we're at the end of our show. So, Tom, tell us where people can find out more about Sennheiser mics.
Well, of course, they can find out at their local retailer, but also, of course, at www.sennheiser.com. Our website has a lot of information on it, and we're always working on it. But also, we have a YouTube channel. You can go there, and you can get how to mic guitars, how to mic anything in the planet, how to use any of our microphones. There's a million YouTube videos on that our guys have done on wireless, on microphones, on whatever it is you need to know.
Yeah, you can go to any of your local stores, but we would prefer that you go to Sweetwater and mention the Flow Guitar Enthusiasts.
That's right. We love those guys.
So we appreciate them. They're very good people. So definitely give them a call if you need to get a Sennheiser mic or really anything that guitar related or just about anything. But we now moved the MK4 to the Gibson Gold Tone, and Jeff is back to the PRS S2 Custom 24. Thanks again for the PRS, folks. And again, thank our sponsors, Sweetwater. And Jeff, if you just want to take us out, man, rock
Tom,
it out.
Tom, thank you very much for being on the show. And he came by a couple of weeks and let us borrow one of the mics, which I thought was just really nice.
Yeah, and that was how I was able to shoot the large condenser mic demo that I did last night. So that will be up in the next week. So I'm really curious myself just to hear how that turns out.
Hey, I want to give a shout out to Paul Reed Smith as well and his entire family who are listening tonight.
Oh, thank you. And then lastly, before we take us out, Jeff, just to mention our next guest next week is Thomas Nordig, the guitar tech extraordinaire for Steve Vai. Insane. I cannot wait till I can get the videos up I shot over at his house.
I want to see this bizarre guitar that you told me about. That we're not going to say anything yet. You'll see it when the...
He's actually going to bring in a guitar next week that's pretty cool. And I think he'll bring in a couple, too. He's got a couple of Steve Vai's he's completely modified to just insane awesomeness.
And a little shout out to Paul Reed Smith. This guitar is really nice.
It's pretty cool. So, yeah, go ahead and rock us out, Jeff.